see, what else was I going to say?
Yeah, I'm really thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful that the Lord chose me to know what I know about Himself. It's an excellent thing. It's beautiful. The Word of God is fantastic. We all should be very, very thankful that we are chosen by Him, and that we chose Him. And that we chose Him. We all have a choice. Why people, it boggles my mind again, I'm going to tell you, why people don't choose the Lord in this world, I have no idea. I have no idea. Because it takes you from death to life. You know that you're living forever, and you're living forever now. You know, I think about that. And I'm not going after a Pentecostal feeling. But the fact of the matter is true, is that, you know, if you want to, I know the word eternal, we'll have to discuss that sometime. Do we have eternal life, or do we have age-abiding life, or do we have life for the ages? That's interesting. Well, you know, being the fullness of the Son of God at the right hand of God, of which we are. We are the fullness of the Son of God, who is the Creator. That's a fact. Sometimes my heart wants to explode. Sometimes when I realize what the Lord's given me and who He is. Who He is. And you can see His power in creation. If you study things, whatever your profession is. If you study things in creation, even bugs. Even the microscopic world. I was going to be a biologist and work on electron microscopes that could see 400,000 times small. And there's a world there. There is a world there. 400,000 times small. It's phenomenal. Pete was talking about DNA. Phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Somebody who couldn't see a creating God in DNA is a moron. They are. Somebody that couldn't see a creating God, if they studied plants or anything, the human body is deceived, and they're stupid. They're fools. You know, I mean, seriously. So I believe that as the fullness of Christ, I don't see my life ending in Him. Now, whether that's the word eternal or not, I'm not sure. But we'll have to discuss all that sometime. It's an interesting subject. At any rate, we were talking about the armor of God. Bob was talking about the armor of God. I was talking about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. And what I'm just going to do this morning is I'm going to ask the logical question, why do we put on this armor of God? What for? I mean, we're seated with Christ, we're raised with Christ, we're filled full in Christ, we're hidden in Christ, for ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, who is our life. For when He is manifested, we shall be manifested with Him in the super heavenlies in glory. So, having all of that, why would we have to put on armor? I mean, what is the practical reason that we would have to put on the spiritual armor? You know, because all of us here at best only have another 100 years to go. And then we're out of here. You know, that's a fact. That's a fact of life, is that we're all going to die. It's sad. You know, in a sense. But, as apt men have pointed out, the power of God has raised the Son of God from the dirt. And our faith in Him allows us to have the same. We have conquered death. Awesome, awesome. So what is the reason for the next 40, 50, 60, 80 years that we have to put this armor on? What's the reason for it? Logical question. That's how, not saying that I'm always logical, but I'm always asking why. A lot of people, they say, oh, Mike, you can't question the Lord. You can't, You can't ask why. You shouldn't be asking why. Well, I don't think there's any problem with asking why. I think that the Lord wants us to be very inquisitive about who He is in His Word. So, and searching His Word. I think He loves it, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, you know, if I was Almighty God and I had all these brothers and sisters, by the way, adopted sons are female too. Okay, so when I mention sons of God, it includes women too. You know, you're just as awesome as guys are. And if I had adopted sons of God, I would want them to love me and know me. Each day, I'd want them to know more about me and how I care about them, just like a loving father, right? And our Father is a loving Father. And I wrote in my last article, I wrote something that I gleaned from Eddie the Greek, Eddie Medrano. He's okay. And what Ed said is he was studying in the original Greek and he realized that the Father is more ready to get this program on than our hearts are. He's ready to go. And He's ready and willing and He wants to glorify us in His Son. And He wants to be taught throughout the universe in His Son. And He's enthusiastic, more so than we might be. That's what His heart is right now. That's the way His heart is. And somebody could say, well, you're going far afield with that. Where do you find that? Well, those are people, the critics like that, those are people that don't bother to search. Because if you're studying the original languages of God, you are going to find things that people that don't dig aren't. And what the evil one might do is he might criticize you to try to stop that. Alright? So if I can stand here and say, I know my Father loves me, and I know He's waiting glorify me in His Son, and He's happy about it, and He's enthusiastic about that, what's the problem with that? You don't think that we can't know Him like that? Oh yeah, we can. Oh yeah. You know, so it's a very personal thing. Our calling is very personal. Our God is a jealous God, too. All these things, He's a person. You know, and we tend to forget that. But watch people that tend to attack you about great things you know in the Lord. Because there's the human green spine of jealousy that can make you stop studying. Make you feel odd, you know. But you dig into original languages and you're going to find a loving Father to the maximum. So I glean that from Eddie the Greek. At any rate, a logical question is, why do we put on this armor? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us why. Because towards the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry, when he was carrying the message of the mystery, which was hidden God from all of mankind, until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul in about AD 62 to AD 64, nobody knew about such things. Not even the angelic creation or principalities or powers knew about such things. So all of a sudden we have this mighty knowledge and will of the Father coming out through the Apostle Paul and written down in scriptures. And what happened at the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry wasn't that he had myriads of people that were cheering the mystery. On the contrary, wasn't it? It was on the contrary. Most everybody rejected him. Amazing. That's amazing. All right. So now we have the highest knowledge given to mankind by God Himself. And mankind is almost in total rejection of it. Alright? Now, I don't want to be a sad Sam. Or I don't want to be a negative Nancy or negative guy. But that's the facts. You know, And the fact of the matter is you do have a diabolical enemy. That's the, you know, I didn't make that up. I didn't make Satan who he was or is. You know, I didn't make him a person that would hate truth and be against ones that want to stand for the truth like you and I. I didn't make him like that. I didn't ask to be put in this environment that we're in. I'm overjoyed that I'm chosen by the Lord to be in it the way I am, though. You know, but I'd rather have a perfect environment. I'd rather be born in glory, live there for the rest of my life eternally, quote. Why not, right? You know, but this all has a purpose. And one purpose of it is that we can see the destructive power of sin and rebellion from Almighty God. Because we have our choice to rebel, you and I, sitting here this morning. We have our choice, like the evil one, like all of every other person in the world. We have our choice to accept the Lord and his ways or rebel. And nothing would bring glory to the Father if you were robots. If he would make you perfect robots, which he can in a nanosecond, I think that's 10 to the 8th, negative 8, like that. He could make every one of us perfect. No problems. Perfect functioning mystery machines. You don't think he can do that? Yet he deals with all of our frailties. And he weaves his love and his power through us.
Yes.
That way. With all of our frailties and goofiness and madness, he weaves his power through weakness because of the evil proud one. I mean, really, it's incredible what he's doing. And he's saying that I'm going to take these dust beings and glorify them in the Creator. I mean, how can we not be taken back by such things? You know, the reason why we put on this armor, one of them, is because we notice what happened to the Apostle Paul at the end of his ministry. They weren't going down to the Superdome and cheering him with 80,000 fans and cheering the mystery. Now, were they? He even had close friends that rejected him. All right? He had some very close friends that were honorable and stuck with him, though, like Luke, an interesting study. Luke, the man Luke. Luke is still with me, he said. But let's look at what occurred towards the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry and why this armor should be put on. And it's real and it's practical for you and me as being adopted, full-grown, mature, rightly dividing sons of the Most High God. Yes. And like artists, I can say, amen! I'm usually not that type of person. You know, but sometimes I say, I feel like my head's going to blow off. You know, I got all this knowledge, I can't contain it anymore. You know, it's like I'm going to be blasted in resurrection standing here or whatever. You know, I feel like that sometimes. Coming along, you know. I guess I need that, some more of that southern hospitality so I can be more amen-ish.
Amen.
You know, but, yeah. Let's look at Colossians 2. What I'm gonna do is you have the idea of where I'm going. We saw through, Bob and myself the armor of God. And the armor of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The armor of God is truth. The armor of God is the righteousness of Christ. The armor of God is having your feet shod with the preparation of the mystery. The armor of God is protecting your very core being with the breastplate, not of your righteousness, of His. So if attacks come upon you, and they will. They're coming, and they are going to be there. If it's like I was talking to these guys that know that run this Bible museum. He says, oh yeah, there's this young preacher that they just built a church. This is a friend of mine talking. He's a curator of this Bible museum. He says, they just built this church for this young guy for 20,000 people. So he has smiles from ear to ear. And you know what he says? He talks about how the Lord can improve their financial life and how he can help them have self-esteem. He said, what we teach here is when you come to the knowledge of the truth, all blank breaks loose. H-E-L-L. Breaks loose. And I said, you know what, Don, you're right. You know, it's not once you step into the arena of truth, it's not how you can promote yourself and your psyche in the flesh. You're in a battle. All right? So watch the ones that promote themselves. I forgot the words. There's certain words. The ones that are very visible and always promoting this human self, self-building up in this world. That's ridiculous. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know, so once you step into the arena of truth, all things break loose. You know, and I don't know what that exactly means for you. I know what it means for me. You know, but, you know, and you back off, and sometimes you feel so beaten down that you can't make it. But then the Lord picks you back up, and you say, thank you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. That's great. I like that. Yeah, that feels good. All right. Yeah. And he allows you to go through things, war for him, stand for the truth, and then you're thankful. Why me? Like Artis says. Why me? You know, let's look at Colossians 2. How much time do I got, Ron?
How are you doing?
Okay. All right, I'm going to look at Colossians 2, 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy 4. That's what I'm going to be doing. One thing I want to mention, I'm sorry, put your finger in Colossians 2. And I just want to mention this word of wisdom about learning about the Lord. Put your finger in Colossians 2 and turn to James, yes, 3. All right? Now, we, you and I go to a lot of conferences. We invest our time learning about the Lord. We want to make, the Lord leads you. I mean, you know, we invest our time. I was thinking, big deal. Oh, we invest our money and our time and our lives. So what? You know, big deal. What are we? What are we? We're just fleshly creatures of dust that are here for a flash in the pan. You know, so if you think, well, I'm investing all my time and my money for the Lord, you have a wrong way of looking at things. That's not being very wise. Let me say that. But, on the other hand, we do like to hear the truth. And we do like to go to places where the truth is being spoken and where good students of the Word of God are discussing things. Not everybody is going to totally agree on everything, but basically we are. Basically, we all know the mystery, right? And in that knowledge, there's peace, there's love, there's unity, there's harmony, and there's grace. And that's why I want you to turn to James 3. And what it's talking about is the knowledge of God and the environment that it's learned in. I just saw this and I thought, now that's a bit of excellent wisdom. I pray for wisdom and knowledge myself. I think I go outside and I look at the stars and I think to myself, I don't want to be a rich guy. I don't want to have a lot of land. I don't want to have 4,000 camels. You know, but if you say that your wisdom and knowledge is freely given by you, I want that. And in the Son of God and in the Father are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, according to Colossians, right? I want that. All right? So, you know, he's got hopefully about 30 or some odd more years to work with me. And I hope he, you know, I'm kind of a dope, you know, and I hope he pours it in there. You know, I say to him, even though I'm screwy, pour that in there anyway, you know. At any rate, this is the Spirit. James 3:14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish, envying, comparing, strife, contention. Not of the Lord. Not a learning environment. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So this knowledge of the mystery together should bring a loving peace between us. And it does. And if there's contention, that's earthy. Okay, we have to watch that. Alright. But I think in these conferences anymore, that unity and that love is here. And it's an awesome learning environment. And that's why we love it so much. Okay, let's turn to Colossians 2. It took me, by the way, it took me 30 years to learn that. Alright. It took me 30 years to settle down enough and read that scripture and go, hey, I understand that. So the Lord might not work with you overnight. You know, you might have to go out to the woodshed a few times. You might have to unlearn a lot of things. You know, you might have to work on some of your fleshly situations. All right, let's look at Colossians 2. How much time do I have, Ron? 25 minutes, okay. Good. I don't want to take anybody's time up.
We got to start a little bit early.
Okay. Colossians 2, 1 through 10. Remember the Apostle Paul. Remember who he was and where he came through. Incredible. He was a murderer of Christians. He was blinded. He was given the message of the millennial kingdom, if I can say that. I hope I'm right. Then it's a possibility. Then he was preaching to Gentiles during the Acts period. It's a possibility that the New Jerusalem calling was given out during that period of time as one of faith, by the way. He told people about that the law brought no salvation after he was an excellent student of the law. And then after that, he was rejected by Israel. He had to tell Israel, you're being set aside by Almighty God. And then he was given the mystery. What a life this man went through. You know. I can't imagine what he thought about. All the things that he went through. Maybe he was killed 3 times. You know, possibly. He was possibly killed literally 3 times and raised from the dead, possibly. That might be in the scriptures. He had close friends reject him. His ministry was rejected as a whole by the nation that he loved. You know, this guy probably had a huge heart. And then after that, he had to set that all aside, and then he had to go out and deliver the mystery to foreigners, as far as his flesh was concerned, you know. And he loved them. You know, so sometimes I think about the life of the Apostle Paul in the flesh, like I was living it, and what that would be like. You know, and every day he got up, and I don't know if you've ever felt stressed, but every day he got up, and there are some days I get up, and 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, dear, 10 more minutes of sleeping. I need 10 more minutes. You know, let alone I get up and go to my job. How about if I got up and I had to deal with 40 churches across the United States? And then I had to preach the mystery in various spots. Then I had to make a living on top of it. You know, incredible. At any rate, though, he was carrying the power of God and the mystery with him, and this is why we put on the armor of God, Colossians 2, 1 through 10. It says here in Colossians 2, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Mine it, guys. Mine it out. Do it. Really. That's what my mind says. Oh yeah, Lord? Okay. My mind says, I'm going after it. Alright, and I'm going to trust you. That's what my mind says. Okay. Here are these riches here. I want to go after them. Alright? That's how this crazy guy thinks. "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For I, though I be absent in the flesh..." So all of a sudden he's talking about a battle here. He's talking about that they should have the full assurance of their calling. And all of a sudden in the next few verses he's talking about problems. He's not talking about rosy activity. He's talking about all of a sudden there's an enemy there. Enticing words, people. You know, you'd have to think, why is that? Wouldn't you? I do. "For though I be absent in the flesh," the Apostle Paul was worrying about these people at Colossae. "Yet I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfast in your faith in Christ." Like us. Hey, give yourself some credit once in a while. You know, we're standing for the truth. We're like West Union Colossae here. You know? Hopefully the Apostle Paul would be happy with us if he walked in. Yeah. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments or the first principles of this world," now, "and not after Christ." Now, this is going to take some study into going into what this is. But, and let me just finish the next two verses. "For in Christ, in him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." One thing that the Apostle Paul was met with by the evil one is the idea that there's more mediators than Christ. That Christ isn't the one mediator. That there's many ways to God. Alright? Through some of the places he went in through and what they worshipped. The evil one was trying to deny the fact that there's only one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. And also too, philosophy, and let's call it idiotic ideas of science and men destroy young people's minds. They do that. I've seen it. I've seen lies being taught at universities. I literally almost hated the guys that were teaching it because I sat in their classes. And all of these young people were duped by these people because they trusted them so much, like innocent lambs. You know, so you're rooted and grounded in Christ. You have to put on the armor of God so that your walk in life, when you go into such places that are out there, that you're strong in the Lord. and that you're not destroyed by the philosophy of men. Now, I didn't create this environment you're in. I didn't write these words. I'm just a messenger, a mouthpiece, that's it. But I've been through it. I was to college for 8 years, and there's not a lot of truth there at all. All right? And what's more, it's if you're not a strong Christian, it could be very destructive and lead your mind away from life into death. Really, that's what it is. So, let's look at Colossians 2, 16 through 19. So Paul was warning the Colossians, who were faithful people, about philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. Men love themselves. Men love their own ways. Men love to build up men. Men love to die and put their names on buildings. What a joke. You know, I mean, seriously. Big money passes big money on to their progeny. So what? Big deal. You know, that's what I say to it. You know, so what? So you're a billionaire. Big deal. You're headed for the grave. And if you don't know the Lord, you're headed for, you're going to be worm food. Worm food and bug food. Oh, no, that isn't true. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the wages of sin. Verse 16 of Colossians 2. How am I doing, Ron? What do I got?
You got about 15.
Okay, that's good. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or Sabbath days. Now listen to this, okay? Which are a shadow of things to come. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Now, what I want you to notice is this. Remember, yesterday I mentioned the fact that the Lord works through true humility. He sees you. He knows you. You can't hide anything from Him. You know? I can't hide anything from Him. He knows what kind of schnook I am. You know, but true humility is what is seen in the Son of God and all great men of God and women. True humility. Now, what the Apostle Paul here is warning about is a voluntary false humility. All right? So we have a world that has people of true humility, that the Lord works through them, that they understand who the Son of God is, because he humbled himself and took on the form of flesh. Philippians 2, right? See, I think that, I'm going to say this, I hope this isn't blasphemous, but I think we can sort of understand what the Lord thought with, if I can say that, in our lives, a bit. You know, certainly we're not the Son of God. But we have the Holy Spirit working in us, we have the truth, and we're learning of the Almighty God. And I think that we can understand how the Lord felt while He was here. I really believe that in my heart, at times. I do. And it's a humbling, it's a wisdom, that helps you understand what life's really about. At any rate, there's a false humility out there, and it's produced by the flesh, and that's what the Apostle Paul was warning about. Let no mean man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, in the worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the bodies by joints and bands having nourishment ministered knit together increases with the increase of God. Religiosity, a false humility, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You are witnesses to that. And the truth cuts right through such false humility. You can see it, you can understand it, You can understand that it's dead. I've seen it myself. That's what the Apostle Paul is warning about. Now we can understand why this armor has got to be put on. Does that make sense to you? Why this armor has to be put on. It's Christ. 1 Timothy 4. I have about 4 scriptures. I hope I can get through. You think I can? Oh, 10 or 15. All right. Okay, here we go. We're going to go through these really fast. 10 or 15. No, I'm good. I like to have fun in the Lord. Because in the Lord there's freedom. Amen. There is a tremendous freedom in the Lord. Oh, I got a handkerchief wave back there from Larry. That's awesome. Thanks, Larry. Larry and I had some great discussions, by the way. I love him. He's a great man, very knowledgeable. It's an honor to have met you, by the way, Larry. So I'm really thankful for that. And like in my life, the Lord has always put men like Larry there. Men and women that are knowledgeable all along. And this is really helpful to young people. It is. I was a young person once.
Sure enough.
What? Yeah, and the Lord always put, He always put great older people around me all the time. Weaved it into my life, you know. And they were stability for me. They were. Even though the Lord's supposed to be stable. That's what I would say. I was talking to Pete's wife, Rosie. And I said, you don't understand how young people really count on you. You don't understand it. Just being alive. I realized that. Just being alive and stable. They really count on you. Don't ever think they don't. So, I realize that myself with some young people. 1 Timothy 4. Oh. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times in which you live, the evil day, by the way, that's the Apostle Paul talks about in the last book of the Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3, read it and study it. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. All things are given freely by God. That's the liberty you have. Abstain from meats, forbidding to marry. That's all a matter of false humility again. Piety in the flesh. They appear to have the power of God, yet they know nothing of Him. That's around you in life. So that's why you need this armor of truth on you. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 2 Timothy 3:8. We'll read. I have two more scriptures to read, and then I'm out of here.
Then you get the frog gig.
What? Then I get the gig. I get the gig. The frog gig. I've seen some pretty big bullfrogs. I think I ate a couple. It wasn't too bad. Kind of like chicken or something. What? Oh, breakfast? Was there some gig frogs in there? Oh, it tasted pretty good. Hey, whoever cooked that this morning... I'm going to tell you, that hickory smoked bacon, you know, because I'm come from Wisconsin, and I've had, I've had smoked salmon, you know, a lot. We used to catch salmon and smoke them and eat them like mad, and I just love that. And my wife and I love beef jerky and, you know, stuff like that. So that was great. 2 Timothy 2, 15, oh, yeah, 2 Timothy, okay, Mike, 2 Timothy 2, 15. Through 3:8. Oh man, my scriptures is coming apart here. That's why I can't find it.
It's the new loose leaf edition.
Yeah, the new loose leaf. Okay, here we go.
You know they sell a TFT.
I think here it is. Hey, now, yeah, study to show they sell the proof. How could I? Now, in all of this, what's really interesting to me is in all of this, putting on this armor, knowing the mystery, you have Ephesians 1 through 5, the knowledge contained there, given to you by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 6, you put on this armor to protect the truth you've been given. And in all of this, in the last book of the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul tells you to study the Scriptures. It's interesting. If you see the amalgamation of all these truths. So one of the things about putting on the armor of God is keeping your mind in the truth. You know? I mean, really, I fail at that. And like I said, what happens is the evil one starts taking your mind down roads that you shouldn't be on. Even though they're not really bad or heinous or anything like that, they're not edifying in the truth, whatever that might be for you. You know, you go down these roads and it seems pretty nice and everything like that. Next thing you know, you wake up and you've been spending all this time in non-truth. How can that be edifying to a son of God? And so you have a battle there. See how he weaves his devices. And, you know, it could be like the evil World Wide Web. You know, you could get involved in the satanic World Wide Web. That's a joke between Ron and I. And your mind could be just totally so involved in that that you forget to study the Scriptures. Right? Click, 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 everybody on the screen. You know, and, you know, their mind all day long. I don't know how they get any sleep. You know what? It's just a little joke. The web is great, great information. I think that it can be used of the Lord. But I always just say be careful that you don't all of a sudden get sidetracked into something that's fleshly. Right? 2 Timothy 2:15. Do I have any time?
Yeah, you're doing good. You got
about
five.
Okay. Yeah, I just got two more scriptures. Hey. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Not anybody else. Unto Him. If you're a true believer, He knows every molecule in your body. He knows every choice you're going to make. He knows every thought you're going to have. He loves the living heck out of you, too, by the way. But you're supposed to study to show yourself approved unto Him. You know, that's what I'm attempting to do, not to focus on myself. I just say these things so that it might be helpful to you. Because it took me 30 years to realize that it's not about me. Amen. It's about Him.
Amen.
All right? And that's kind of a wisdom to come to. It's not about me. It's not about what I know. It's about glorifying Him. You know? And being thoroughly happy that I know what I know about Him. But it's in glorifying Him. So, if I can live my life glorifying Him, that's what I'm going to choose to do, hopefully, in everything that I do. And I don't want to be men pleasers or women pleasers. I want to be pleasing to God. And that's a battle, by the way. Because you're involved there, your human flesh is involved there, your wants, needs, desires, blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of hard to put down, you know. I know you know what I'm talking about. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they increase unto more ungodliness. By the way, you know, if you don't have a lot of time to get mixed up in contention, I'm going to say this because it took 30 years to learn this. You guys don't have a lot of time getting caught up in things that aren't edifying. Watch this one, really. You don't have a lot of time for that. You have to spend your time in things that are edifying and building up in the Lord to you. Watch that. Because that can happen. The next thing you know, you're contending over some truth that will never edify you, or some thing, some thought, I should say, some tradition. Watch that. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus are, whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having the seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man or a person purges himself from these, he shall and she shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit or meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. As said, so therefore, more or less, flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Through true humility, you can help somebody come out of the snare of the evil one. It's not through contention. It's not through bashing the truth down their throats. It's through meekness, and it's through humility, and it's through the truth. And if they reject you in that spirit, well, that's their choice. You cannot control what people do or what people think. That's a hard one. You'd want all your loved ones to know the mystery, wouldn't you? I would. But a lot of the people that I love, they just totally reject it. It's sad. But I can't control what they do. That's a hard thing. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort they are they which lead into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's an interesting statement. Our world is one of inventions. Mankind is going crazy with his inventions. There are so many inventions you can't even keep up with them anymore. They're beyond almost human reasoning anymore. The normal, natural guy can't keep up with technology anymore. It's moving so fast. But mankind is wrapped up in his own knowledge and inventions. And they're dead. They don't bring life. They die in the grave. Whatever, however wonderful they appear to be, they speak nothing of the Son of God. Last verse, and then I'm out of here. 2 Timothy 4:1-11. Am I okay? 2 minutes. All right, thanks. I'm here again. It's really important, though. I think the Apostle Paul had such a desire and such a heart for the people that he ministered to. I do. I think he had a sacrificial love for them. He loved them. And he loved the Lord, and he loved the truth in these people. And that's why he was constantly warning them. Because some slipped away, by the way. Some slipped away. This is another reason why you put on the armor. Okay, this is that last book of the scriptures written, 2 Timothy. It's debatable whether 2 Timothy or Colossians was written last. I've settled on 2 Timothy myself. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Long suffering. Hang it in there. Perseverance. The Lord wants you to endure. He wants you to be an endurer. You're in for the long haul. Quit your whining. That's what I tell myself. I want to be out of here. Quit your whining. You're in for the long haul, as opposed to my head. Persevere, right? Endure hardness. Endure it. He can give you the power to do so. What's the matter? Don't you have enough faith? That's what goes through my head. I'm just speaking this out to you. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, by the way. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears what they want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables, because it makes them feel good in themselves, by the way. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry, know your calling, know the scriptures, study to show thyself approved unto God, put on the whole armor of God, walk in the power of God, power in, power out. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto them, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. At the end of the ministry, the Apostle Paul, this fabulous, fantastic man of the Lord, I didn't write this word, the Holy Spirit did. He was practically alone. After raising the dead, healing the sick, dealing with Israel, dealing with Gentiles, knowing the law, knowing grace, knowing the mystery, preaching to literally thousands of people, he was alone. So, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand, withstand, and having done all, to stand. That's why he was so vehement about saying that to us through the Holy Spirit. It's an honor to be here and serve the Lord. It's an honor to be in front of you. And I love you guys. You're closer to me than a family. Sometimes, like Ron, you're hard to deal with sore people in your own family, right? But it's just really great to be here. And it's really an excellent learning environment. I thank all the men of God that come to teach here. Thanks.